G'day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for your company. Once again, it is time for another Spiritual Baby Speed Study on Truth to You. That's truth2.org with Jason, Spiritual Babies of spiritualbabies.net. G'day, mate.
Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, everyone.
It is that time of the year. It's the time of the year when you get all the yeast and leaven out of your house and clean up and tidy the place and get ready for Pesach, and it's exciting.
Or if it's me, you get all the unwanted chocolate Easter eggs.
Why is your house full of chocolate Easter eggs? What are you talking about?
Because you get friends and family that just won't listen when you say you don't want any chocolate Easter eggs. They still come. And you know what? And then you take them home because you have to, and they sit there looking at you, and they're six.
Yeah, and you look at them, and you're a little bit tempted, right? And you think, what if I just try one? Because it's just chocolate after all. And by the time, you know, if I break it up, it's chocolate. I chew it up, it's chocolate. What?
That one there is in the shape of a rabbit. That would be okay to eat.
That one there is a little bit broken and melted and doesn't really have a shape. I can eat that.
So they sit there for ages, and then they go in the bin, which is a shame. But there we are.
So chocolate Easter, so that's the whole conundrum in itself. We're not going to be talking about that. What we are talking about is the Passover lamb, because there's, in the Messianic world and in the Christian world, there is the idea that Jesus is the Passover lamb. And what we thought is we'd have a look and see what is the instruction pertaining to the lamb as far as Pesach is concerned, and then see how that relates to Yeshua. Is that fair? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's have a crack at it. So obviously we're looking at Exodus chapter 12. What's the first thing that we're instructed to do when in regards to a lamb?
That the head of the family has to choose a lamb or a goat. I think the word actually is kind of one of the flock for his family to eat. So that's a personal choice by the head of each household to go out and select an animal.
Okay, and it's not just any animal, right? It's an animal without blemish in its first year.
Right, it has to be perfect. No cuts, no scrapes, no bruises, no moles, no deformity.
No deformity, and that's on the 10th of the month, and they keep it until the 14th of the month. And on the 14th at twilight, they're to kill the lamb, or as you say, the kid from the either the sheep or the goats. And so that
they have to kill it in a specific way too, right? They can't.
Well, you do have to kill it in a specific way. You got to kill it so that the blood is drained from the animal.
Right. Can't beat it to death.
You can't beat it to death. I don't want to do that.
You can't asphyxiate it.
No. Don't be doing any of that stuff. You want to kill it humanely, and you want to do it in a way that drains the blood from the body quickly. And you want to, it says to take some of that blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the house in which it is to be eaten.
Right.
So it's got to be eaten in the house, right?
It's got to be eaten in the house. And it also makes me aware that you can't spread that, you know, you can't take that blood and then like lend it to your friend down the street.
No, good point.
I think you have to do it to the houses where the households that are going to be eating the animal, they're the ones that use the blood from the animal.
They're the ones that use the blood for that animal, and the rest is poured out on the ground. And the entire lamb is to be roasted in fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs.
Right.
And it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, in one house it shall be eaten, and you shall not carry any of the flesh outside of the house, nor shall you break any of its bones.
Right. And you have to make sure that, because there's provision given to people that maybe don't have enough members of their family to eat a whole lamb. So you join together to make sure the whole lamb is eaten and that everyone has a piece.
Yeah, that everyone's eaten. And it's not to be eaten raw. Check. Don't eat it raw.
Or boiled.
Just in case.
Yep.
Or boiled in water. Don't boil it in water. Mm-hmm. As you said, whatever is remains has to be consumed in the fire. So anything that's left over, you've got to leave it in the fire, let it burn up.
Yeah, the next morning you have to burn what's left. I think what you would end up is the outline, the shape, the skeletal remain of that animal. So there would be no one's going to come along and go, there's two chickens in this fire, or there's a leg of cow in this fire. They're going to know that it was a lamb or a goat.
Now, that's pretty much it. Is there anything else as far as the instruction is concerned regarding the lamb? That's about it, really. It's pretty simple, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot there, but it's quite simple when you list it out.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. And the thing I love about Exodus chapter 12, the very last verse, I think it is verse 50 of chapter 12, it says, thus all the children of Israel did as Yehovah commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And so it's fair enough to say, right, Mr. Spiritual Babies, that therefore these instructions were fulfilled.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
So there's the fulfillment of the instruction. It's right mm-hmm. there in verse 50, and that's the end of it. So now, in the Christian world, it's a little bit different because they see the fulfillment, they understand the fulfillment as being Jesus is the Passover lamb, right? That's a fair statement?
It is a fair statement.
I think the first place that we encounter this, at least in the order that the books of the New Testament are arranged, John chapter 1, verse 29, we have John the Baptist declaring, as Jesus walks towards him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
That's the first issue.
Hang on. Well, there is a problem here. Now, this is the first thing we have to address. Is the Passover lamb a sin sacrifice?
No, obviously it wasn't a sin sacrifice. And the text doesn't say it's a sin sacrifice.
There it is. And so, okay, so it's not a sin sacrifice. It got me curious. Is there a lamb sin sacrifice in the Torah?
There are lambs sin sacrifices
there
in
is?
The Torah. Yep, they pops up in Leviticus 4 and 5. And I can read them out if you like.
Go on.
Leviticus 4:28, as soon as you realize what you have done, you must sacrifice a female goat, which has nothing wrong with it. 32 says, if you offer a lamb instead of a goat sacrifice for sin, it must be a female that has nothing wrong with it. You lead the lamb to the altar and lay your hands on its head before having it killed. And then Leviticus 5:6 says, then you must bring a female sheep or goat to me for the price of your sin, and the priest will sacrifice the animal and you will be forgiven. So there are three instances of that, but they're all female.
They're all females. So I'd be interested in if the listeners can think of another one where there's a sin sacrifice involving a lamb that is a male. Love to know about that. But obviously Pesach is not a sin sacrifice. So. But you know, to be fair, Mr. Spiritual Babies, clearly when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," he's speaking allegorically. I mean, it's not as if Jesus is some sort of experimental sheep man from the island of Dr. Moreau, right?
Right, it's a picture. It's also worth mentioning that John is the last of the Gospels and the only one that mentions that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And supposedly written sometime later than the other ones. But he's not a lamb, he's a human. Now, it's fairly... I know it sounds silly to have to say that, but he's not a lamb. He is a human. And human sacrifice it should be mentioned, human sacrifice is considered an abomination to God. Now, he's also not in his first year, is he? How old was he when he was crucified?
Most people believe he was between 30 and 33, don't they? 33 and a half is the common tradition.
Yeah, so he was 30-odd.
Mm. And then if we're looking at just those three, even if we say, okay, we don't worry about the gender of the animal, in all of these instances, you had to take the animal to a priest who would sacrifice it on an altar.
True.
And you know, that didn't happen either.
That didn't happen. Blemish. Now, you alluded to this. This is Leviticus chapter 22, verse 24. It says, "You shall not offer to Yehovah what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut... Mm-hmm. Nor shall you make any offering of them in your land." Mm. Now, cuts, that has to include, I mean, obviously you don't circumcise a lamb. Mm-hmm. And we have in Luke, I think somewhere it says when he was 8 days, when the eight days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yeshua. Mm-hmm. So there he is. Now that's beside the fact that he was, you know, whipped and beaten senseless by the Romans.
Oh yeah, it says in the text that people were surprised that he survived it.
Mm.
So he must have been beaten to within an inch of his life.
Oh, he's beaten and whipped mercilessly, which we understand from the Gospels before his crucifixion. And yet, I found this is interesting. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold," I have to pause there because I mean I know silver can get a little tarnished, but gold doesn't corrode
at all. And aren't you? I mean, there's little bells going off in my mind. In the Torah, aren't there instances when you are redeemed with?
You're supposed to be redeemed with silver. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
And gold doesn't touch. But there's a funny thing to say there, Peter. Mm. I don't know what you're on about, but redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conducts received by tradition from your fathers. Spit on your tradition from the fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Is what Peter has to say. And of course, Mr. Spiritual Babies, Hebrews, where would we be without the book of Hebrews? Of course, we've got to include that in our programs. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? So that's kind of where that comes from. But what do you make of that? Oh, but that, now another thing. We have to add into the mix here. This is not included in Exodus chapter 12. This is included in Deuteronomy, but it has to be read out because, of course, Yeshua is post-Deuteronomy. It says, Deuteronomy 16, verse 5 to 6, you may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, which Jehovah your God gives you, but at the place where Jehovah your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight. Now, the place that God chose to put his name at the time that Jesus was crucified was, of course, the temple.
Right. And that hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed. And the precise location of the crucifixion remains, you know, still a bit of a mystery. Mm. But the New Testament does indicate, both John 19:20 and Hebrews 13:12, it was somewhere outside the city walls. So not only was it not in the temple, but it was even outside of the city. Mm. And so in any case, on the 14th at twilight, you kill the lamb so that the blood is drained from the animal rather than, you know, whip it senseless and nail its hooves to a tree until it dies of asphyxiation. Now you were alluding to that. And it sounds horrible and ridiculous that I should say something like that. It's just disgusting that I should even put that image in your head, dear listeners. So sorry about that. But when you think about it, I mean, really, you know, this is not a sacrifice that you would bring to the... I mean, you wouldn't do that to a lamb and then take it to the temple and say, hey, offer that to God. What do you reckon?
No, I don't think that would be an acceptable offering at all.
Can you imagine?
And when Jesus was taken to the cross, who was offering him? If Jesus was a sacrifice in any way, who was making the sacrifice and who was it to? Mm. If the Romans were bringing him to the cross and if the Romans were nailing him to the cross, the cross festival would have to be an altar and the Romans would have to represent a priest, and that would only complicate things further. Also, it's worth mentioning that the Passover happens at twilight. Mark 15 says it happened in the third hour, which is about 9 a.m., and John 19 says it happened after the sixth hour, which is 12 noon, that he was crucified.
So that doesn't work either. Now, the fact of the matter is that he I mean, you know, a Jewish brother, he was tortured and he was beaten and he was put on an execution stake and he died a horrible death. Mm-hmm. And he died in a way that, it has to be said, contained his blood. And, you know, in John 19:34, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, it says, and immediately blood and water came out. And obviously it's because he was not, it sounds silly to even have to explain this, but it's because he was not drained of his blood because no one was going to eat him. Mr. Right. Spiritual Babies, it's just the fact of the matter. So there's another example where it just doesn't align with the actual Passover lamb. Now, speaking of John 19, this next thing is very, very telling. As I read before, as I said before, Exodus 12:46, in one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry out any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. Now, up to this point, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is it fair to say, I mean, really, the passages that allude to Jesus being the Passover lamb, whether it be the Gospel of John, whether it be Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:7, we'll come to that. It's fair to say they're allegorical passages. They don't really believe that he's a lamb and that, you know, and all this stuff happens. But the problem is that when we come to this next verse, where we're all of a sudden taking things very, very literally, so literally, in fact, that it says, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. This is John 19:36. What does it say?
All this happened so that the scriptures would come true, which say, no bone of his body will be broken.
But all of a sudden we're speaking literally. All of a sudden we're fulfilling scripture. All of a sudden the reason why none of his bones were broken, that's when the soldiers were going around and breaking the legs of those who were crucified so that they would suffocate and die. Mm-hmm. They came to him. They found he was already dead. They stuck a spear in the side. The blood and the water came out. And he was already dead so that none of his bones would be broken. And apparently this is a literal fulfillment of the scriptures. Now, one has to ask, what's the obvious question? If it's good enough for this scripture to be literally fulfilled, why are all the other scriptures not literally fulfilled? I mean, if this one, it says these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken, why not all the other ones?
Technically, I suppose, if Jesus is the Passover lamb, you should be able to look at the story of what happened at the crucifixion and the days leading up to the crucifixion. And you should then know what to do with the animal if you were keeping the Passover yourself. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
You know, you should be able to read it and go, okay, well, I have to take this lamb, and then I have to interrogate it, and then I have to beat it, and then I have to take it outside the walls of the city, and I have to nail it to a cross, and then I have to let it asphyxiate. And once it's dead, I have to check it's dead by sticking a spear in its side. Mm-hmm. Would that be?
Yeah.
It's probably too much.
And then, oh no, but it's ridiculous to even have to go through it like this. But this is the question. This is where we end up. Now, another thing that that Jesus did actually fulfill, because the next instruction, the next Torah in Leviticus chapter in Exodus chapter 12, is that it not be eaten raw nor boiled in water. And I think we can say that Jesus checks out here as well.
Right.
Okay. So the next instruction is that whatever remains of the lamb is to be consumed in the fire rather than left over. Now, we could say that that Jesus also checks out there, but I discovered something that I've never seen before in the New Testament. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Give it to me.
Oh, okay. Ephesians 5, 2. Let love be your guide. Christ loved us and offered his life for us as a sacrifice that pleases God.
You're kidding. What translation are you reading?
The contemporary English version.
No.
Wait, I can do more. Hang on. I've got another one. The Douay Rhymes from 1899.
No.
And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness.
Ah, an odor of sweetness. What I've got in the New King James is Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, what were the sweet-smelling aromas?
That was part of the sacrifice system in the Torah when something was offered on the fire.
Something was offered on the fire.
Right.
I'll give you an example. In Exodus chapter 29, it says, you shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to Yehovah. It is a soothing aroma, an offering made by fire to Yehovah. Verse 25 of Exodus 29, you shall take them from their hands and offer them up in the smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, a soothing aroma before Yehovah. It is an offering by fire to Yehovah. That's just so bizarre. And I thought to myself, does this mean that the writer of Ephesians, because it is a pseudepigraphical book, most scholars agree that Ephesians wasn't written by Paul. It was written probably by a disciple by Paul, writing in Paul's name. Maybe he heard from Paul, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, that says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And this person thought, right, okay, guess, you know, the Passover was burnt up at the end in the fire. Maybe, I don't know, maybe this is what they believed.
Maybe.
I don't know, I've never really seen this before, but maybe this is probably a question for James DeBoer. We might ask him this, but Ephesians 5, 2 claims that Christ offered himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Maybe the writer of Ephesians thought he went all the way.
Sorry, I'm just reading on the next line. I can't believe it comes to that.
But there's no explanation for it. I would love to hear from the listeners in regards to that one, because there seems to be no explanation except that maybe the writer of Ephesians thought, you know, took Paul a little too seriously and just thought he'd run with it.
You know, off the top of my head, it's possible that the writer of Ephesians never even really read the Torah properly.
I don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is that apparently in Ephesians 5:2, he's a sweet-smelling aroma for God. And this is the, you know, it kind of makes sense. When you look at the Pesach, you read Exodus chapter 12, that's what happened to the remainder of the lamb or the kid, was that it was burnt up in the fire. Oh, my goodness. Never seen that before. I thought that was pretty weird. Is there anything you want to add to that, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
No, I think that's it. I've got cleaning to do. I've got shelves of bread that need to be swept.
And the chocolate.
Yeah.
That needs to be disposed of somehow.
Right.
Somehow.
I can't even give it away because it makes me feel guilty. Here, eat some of this idle chocolate.
There you go, dear listeners. There it is. Now, I hope, I mean, really, we could have just said right at the very beginning, Jesus is a man and not a lamb, and we could have all gone home. I mean, really, we should have. But all of that had to be presented. Leave it up to you to make up your mind, but there it is. Okay. So in the meantime, dear listeners, have a great Pesach. Mm-hmm. Be blessed and set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.